You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilbert.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I am Martin Bruda, and with me today is...
Chris Ellis.
And Chris Gilpin.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay.
Yeah, not too badly.
This is crazy. It's been a little bit nuts over the summer. COVID and all that other stuff. The radio studio is still shut down, so there's not a lot of chatting we can do.
I can't even remember the last time we got together on the radio.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Sam was on that show, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was awesome. But it's Friday night, and we're recording from homes, so we'll see how that goes. I mean, we've done it before a couple of times, but we'll take it. We'll see how it goes.
Sounds good.
So what have you guys been doing comic book wise for the last 3 months, 2 months?
Sorting.
collecting, updating CLZ.
Yeah, I hit the storage locker myself more than once for a couple of days, and the girls at the storage locker, they kept coming in to check on me, see if I was still there. And they're like, we're going to forget you're here. We'll probably lock the doors and turn the lights out. I'm like, I'm okay. I got my comics. I'll make it overnight.
Yeah. You got a chair there too, right?
Yeah, I got a camping chair there. And I think there might be a sleeping bag tucked in the corner somewhere. And I'll be all right.
Setting right up. Nice.
Doing a lot of sorting and finding how painfully inaccurate my CLZ is.
Yeah, I hear you on that one.
I mean, yep. There's so many times where I'm like flipping through there. I'm like, why do I have 4 copies of this one comic book? How did I do that?
My personal favorite is when I buy a book and I come home and I punch it in and I already have it, but didn't transfer it over. So it's still on the want side, but really it's all filled out. Like I bought the book at like, the March show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then bought it. Wrote it out, filled it all out with how much I paid, where I got it, and then didn't bother to just hit that one last button to change it from the wish list to the collection. Mm-hmm. So then I end up with 2 copies of the same book.
Yeah.
Just because of something so silly as that.
It's just crazy. I mean, it's one of those things where either we've gone on a massive comic safari and hit like 7 different spots in one evening, day, and I didn't record what I picked up in the morning, or I'm just dumb and there's something wrong with CLZ and next thing I know I've got, you know, missing issues and or multiples. Usually it's multiples, so it's not as bad.
Yeah.
Or you're reading off your want or your have list.
Oh, I do that all the time. I can't remember what series it was, but I was at Comic Alley Toys in Oshawa after they've done their little cleanup and renovation. Mm-hmm. And everything I pulled out of that stack, it must have been 100 comics. Everything I pulled out of there was from my have list, not my want list.
Oh.
I was like so dejected when I got home. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
That's wow. Frustrating.
So now I got to find some guy with a flea market booth who needs stock.
I think I might know a guy.
Yeah. How is the flea market going there, Chris?
It's off and on. Last weekend was pretty bad, but pretty quiet. I think everybody's just COVID afraid.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, I
mean, yeah, like not as many vendors outside as there used to be, and
yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe get through the winter and see what happens, and if we all are living in the spring, then maybe it might pick up again.
Yeah, maybe.
In case we didn't have that COVID apocalypse they're talking about.
That's right.
I know we're all like missing comic conventions like crazy. That's for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Everything being canceled and
yeah.
But there's two in October, right? Is there two or one? There's one on October 11th.
Oh, I saw somebody said something about a show in Vaughan.
Oh, I didn't hear about that one.
Oh.
And then there was another one. The Fan Expo one is canceled for sure.
Yeah.
And I think the Burlington Toy Guys are going to have a Burlington Comic Convention.
Yeah.
And that convention's more kind of like the Toronto Comic Book Show, where it's more just comic vendors.
Yeah.
Lots so they're actually
log boxes.
That's interesting because the comic conventions are kind of going back to like, you know, what they used to be at the lobbies of a hotel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like where it was just comics and it was a guy and he had like five or six long boxes and just, you know, have at her.
Yeah. Well, everybody is saving, you know, if you're into the pop culture stuff and things like that and the more fanish type parts of the genre, then you're saving yourself for places like Fan Expo and stuff, right? Where all the big names are going to be.
Yeah.
So that just opens up the door for these smaller guys to, you know, have just like a straight, honest to goodness comic sales show, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is great for bin divers like us. Like, you know,
oh, I love it.
Yeah. You know, I love it. Now, mind you, I've never, ever, I mean, I know Fan Expo is a little bit more and more Fan Expo-ish than comic book-ish late, you know, over the years. But yeah. I've never had a problem digging, you know, finding bins to dig into at Fan Expo.
Yeah.
There's lots of comics at Fan Expo. Anybody who says there isn't is just not looking hard enough. There's tons of vendors.
Yeah. I've never actually been.
What?
To Fan Expo.
Really?
Yeah, to the big show in August or September or whenever it runs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, never actually been.
Yeah, well, I had tickets for just 2 days this... No, I bought the whole thing. I bought the whole thing, but I knew for sure I wasn't going to go because the last time I went, oh, my goodness, I didn't make it.
Oh, no?
I didn't make it. Like, I got off the... You know, stupid me, I'm thinking, oh, the hotel's only a couple of blocks, four blocks from the train station. I'll walk.
Yeah, it's a long way to carry a long box of comic books.
Yeah, I can walk. It's not a big deal. And then I packed absolutely everything in an army duffel bag.
Yeah.
Like everything. You know, I brought my laptop and I brought all sorts of stuff. Well, geez Louise, if my spine wasn't completely done carrying that stupid duffel bag four Toronto city blocks, and it wasn't really four, it was like four up and four across. So it was more like whatever that is, 7.5 diagonally and oh my goodness, I was just done. So by the time I did Thursday night, by the time I did all of Friday, I think I did an hour of Saturday and I was like, that's it, Robaxa set.
Yeah, done.
I need Robaxa set.
Sorry, what hotel were you staying at?
Was that that was when I was at the Rex.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
This Toronto show, I don't want to tell my secret because I don't want people to know, but this Toronto show, we just went for the single day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I was half a block away from the convention, did my stuff, went and dropped stuff off at the car pretty regularly, left, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. So I don't want to – I mean, it's not a big deal, but I don't want to tell everybody where I parked.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell everybody where I parked.
Well, we went in March this year.
Yeah.
And we parked right inside the – remember we parked right inside the convention center?
Yeah, we parked right inside the convention center. And we didn't have to get there that much earlier to go. But, you know, I mean, it was the Toronto show. It was a Fan Expo per se.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know
– I always enjoy that Toronto show.
It's a great show.
It's always a good show.
It's a great show.
Yeah. We used to go when it was when Paradise owned it, and what was it called? Paradise sold it to the other kind of competition to Fan Expo, and I can't remember.
Wizard World.
Oh, Wizard World. Yeah, that Wizard World. Yeah, they sold it to them. And so we went up, we'd go up on the Sundays, and that was kind of neat. We'd just load up a car and away we'd go.
Yeah. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, even some of the smaller shows like Dave Wildstar's shows and stuff, they've all been, I mean, he's done his best to try to come up with some ideas, and he was going to have like an outdoor show and like a flea market type, you know, physical setup, but not a flea market.
Yeah.
That didn't pan out. And, I mean, what can you do? You're literally not allowed to have more than, what is it now, 25 people in the room?
Yeah, something like that.
You know?
Unless people are sitting down, right? And then you can have more, but. I mean, how do you do that with like a comic show or something? So
I think the cops will be going door to door at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
How many family members you got in there?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
There's four cars in the driveway. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the comic books have been coming in. You know, I got a stack here that I've been reading. Kickstarter thing came in, so I don't know. Did you guys buy? Oh, Chris, you were just before we got on air. You're going to show us this cool statue. Tell us all about that.
All right. So we went down to Florida in February, just before the whole world kind of all fell apart. And we went to Coliseum of Comics. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been in one. But they had a sale on because it was their anniversary this year. So if you spent, what was it? I forget. If you spent like $50 or something, you got $50 in back issues for free. So that was kind of cool. I was like, well, that's $100 worth of books, right? So of course I start digging through the back issues, and my wife's like, I'm leaving, have fun. I'll see you when I come back. So she comes back, about an hour later, and I've got about $80 worth of comic books in my hand. And I'm like, I can't seem to find enough without going like ridiculously over or whatever. And so she's like, oh, just take your time. We're not in a panic or anything. And I was like, I was pretty impressed because usually that's not the case. So she starts walking around, and then so my son comes over. He's like, Dad, you got to come over and see this. Mom thinks you should come over and take a look at this thing. So I go over, and it's this Venom statue. And she's like, Would you like that? And I was like, are you kidding me? The thing is gorgeous. It's like, yeah, that'd be great. I said, but I don't know if that actually counts towards getting the free books. And she's like, well, let's take it up and we'll go take up to the counter, take your books. If they do, we'll buy it and everything is great. I said, okay, perfect. So we went up to the counter, and he's like, yeah, no, you can use that as, you know, part of the, you know, the beginning where you, whatever you spend, and then you get the free books on top of that. So my budget was $100, and everything all totaled up was like $150. I paid $93 for it.
Nice.
So it was a very fun day. I picked up like, just a bunch of random books that I needed for the backfill, but then I got this like pretty cool Venom statue too. So I'm pretty proud of that one.
Yeah.
So, and she said, oh, that'll be part of your Father's Day present. So
there you go.
That's proud dad. I got a Venom statue.
There you go.
There you go.
It's a neat one too. That's got Eddie Brock there, and the symbiote is just coming off of him or coming onto him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of coming up. It's coming up over his shoulder, and yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I got a 12-inch Green Arrow statue. And whoever sent it to me, like, it was a really low bid. I think I won it for like $4 because nobody else bid on it.
That's because they had it in the wrong section or something on eBay. Yeah. Right?
And it was one of those 12-inch porcelain ones. And then it was like $30 US shipping, right? Thank you, global shipping program fee. Pitney Bowes jerks. And, it showed up, and they had just put it in the box and put brown paper on it. So it came and it was destroyed. Like, it was broken in like 3 or 4 spots, and it was just in shatters. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't pay much for it. I probably wouldn't have said shit.
Yeah.
The shipping. Like, you know, I want my $50 of Canadian shipping back. Yeah. So I kind of filed the claim and I said, you know, hey, I'm perfectly willing to send it back if you're paying for return shipping, which is usually the policy at eBay US. I don't know if that applies to the global shipping program and stuff. And, you know, that's what I prefer, is to just send it back and get a refund. And I guess because it was only $1 or $5 or whatever I want it for, and the global shipping program, you know, the sellers don't get to see that. So I don't know what the shipping charge she charged me. Maybe she only charged me $5 US shipping or whatever. But it was just, here you go, here's all your money back. And I'm like, okay. And then I got another email that the global shipping program sent me the rest of the money back on my credit card. So,
oh, nice.
For free. And I wasn't looking to get it for free, but I got it for free. And then I was just sitting here, you know, COVID bored out of my mind, looking at the statue going, I don't know, maybe I can glue it back together again. Like, I don't know. Every time I glue like a coffee cup handle, it doesn't last that long before it shatters and stuff. So I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe I'll try it. And it went together perfectly fine. There's no chips missing or anything like that. And then a little bit of touch-up paint from Dollarama here and there. Mm. The base is like a flat black because it's on a roof. So just like really flat black acrylic, put it on there, and it covered up a little bit of the blue marks here and there. And it looks great.
Perfect.
It's great. She's not mint.
But you wouldn't want to pay $50 and have to put it back together.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, it's one thing if you don't pay anything for it to glue them back together, but
yeah. So it turned out okay, but yeah, it's a neat looking statue too. But I really like your Venom statue. That's pretty wicked.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that one.
That's wicked.
Yeah. So what are you reading? Have you read anything recently? Or
yeah, I have been. I don't know, Chris. What have you been reading first before I get into my pile of stuff here?
Well, I've been playing catch up. I'm up to date on Die, 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 which I just love it. It's just so violent and so funny. It's just,
I'm surprised you read that series. I read that series, so I'm surprised you read that series. I really enjoy it too. It's a good book.
I think I got issue 1 and 2.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. It was one of those things where, you know, while I was at like Comic Book Addiction or something, I saw it on the shelf, I'd pick it up.
Yeah.
But I didn't carry on with it. So it's pretty good there, Gilpin.
Oh, I love it. It's just the artwork's kind of, like, I don't even know how to describe the artwork, but it's great. I love it. Like it's a little borderline sketchy, but not. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean, Chris? Like, how do you describe it? It's
very stylized. So it's definitely one person's take on what the art should look like. Mm-hmm. But you don't have a problem differentiating between the people, like, and there's a lot of ethnicities in it and stuff. So it's you can, you know, pick out who the characters are. I mean, but it is definitely a very stylized art, though.
Yeah, and Sean from Grey Guardian did a great job of getting the issues I missed.
Oh yeah,
but I didn't put them in my CLZ, and I couldn't remember what they were.
Oh.
On one of our trips, I ended up with at least 2 doubles.
Which ones? I think I only have up to 10, so
hook
a brother up or something.
No, they're like 8, 9 or something, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'll double check them and see. But this is,
yeah, because I think the series is up to like 13, I think, now. And I don't have that many, but
so. Yeah, it's good. And I've been I'm way still behind on Oblivion Song, which I thought ended, but I have all the issues up to 26. I still got to read those. I read the Three Jokers. You guys,
was that any good?
I thought so. I'm still a little confused as to why there's 3, but I guess that's the whole point of the storyline.
Yeah, it's just the first issue so far, right?
And, yeah.
I mean, like, the art, is that Jason, I don't know how you pronounce that last name, Fabok?
Yeah.
Fabek?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It looks great.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like he might be the heir apparent to the Batman art throne after Greg Capullo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I
feel like he might be the go-to Batman artist for a little while.
Yeah. So it's been out for a while, right? A couple of weeks, a few weeks?
Yeah, a few weeks now.
So we can talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. It's not in my piles, so it's got to be in my in my storage locker already, so it's got to be a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the covers pretty much give away who the three Jokers are.
Like, they had it when we were in Gotham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first issue was out then.
Yeah. So you've got the Joker that shot Batgirl, the Joker that killed Robin, and I can't remember who the third one was. But for some reason, they're different people.
Yeah.
Like different, I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet.
I don't know. Did anybody say specifically, like, is this in continuity or is this like an Elseworlds thing? Or?
I think it's Black Series.
Yeah.
So.
I definitely think, like, and all the Black Label stuff, there's no doubt that they're going to be playing a little loose and fancy free with the continuity. They just want to tell a good story in a few issues or whatever and get it done and, you know, not be a slave to continuity.
Yeah. Well, especially when you have the Joker War at the same time, right?
Yeah.
It's like, which I've read the first three Batman issues of that, so that was all right.
Yeah, that's one of the books I got here is Batman 99, part 5 of the Joker War.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's I mean, the art's fantastic. Phil Jimenez, I think, is doing this particular issue. It's great. I just feel like almost all the events in this latest Batman series seem like they're going on a bit too long.
Mm.
Like there's a little bit too much filler. Like what was the one where the Riddler took over the city?
Yeah.
That one kind of went a little long. This one seems to be like, it just seems like it could have been distilled down into, you know, something like the three Joker format, you know, three thicker books instead of dragging it out the way it is. There's just, I mean, it's good. Don't get me wrong. Just get this feeling like, you know,
and there's a lot of crossovers. Well, tie-ins, because you don't have to read them.
That's the one thing I did like was that, you know, yeah, there are a few tie-ins here and there, but they're not crucial to the story.
Yeah.
Not like you have to read Batman this week and then next week you have to read Nightwing and then the week after that you got to read Batgirl and that kills me. That just kills me.
Yeah.
What's worse is if you're only reading Nightwing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what in the heck just happened to that book?
Yeah. And you're just lost. I mean, we've complained about that on numerous occasions, how insane that is. But yeah, I mean, you know, lots of splash pages and this one page where like the whole, I don't know if you've read 99 yet, but let's see if I can hold that up for the camera just for you guys. Yeah. But I mean, it's like this entire, the whole cityscape and the sky's on fire and there's like these Joker minions everywhere and just shows you Gotham's like just a wreck.
Well, Joker owns Wayne Enterprises or something, right?
Yeah, Joker's the billionaire now.
He's the billionaire. Oh. And he's got access to all the toys and... Yeah,
so it'll be interesting to see where it goes, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, just like everything else, you kind of know it's like a temporary thing. Eventually, Bruce will get his money back, and it'll go back. But in the meantime, I think it's a good story.
Well, I think part of it too is kind of fleshing out Punchline's story.
Yeah,
giving her more screen time, so to speak.
And they're really trying to push new characters and make them like superstars, aren't they?
Yeah, yes. The kid, I don't know, the clown killer, I don't know. Well, maybe you know who he is. I'm two issues behind you. So.
Isn't there a theory that he's Damien?
Well, that's my assumption, but he's going around killing people, which is
Damien's
supposed to do.
Damien's raised by the, what is it, what's the Ra's al Ghul religion there?
League of Shadows.
Yeah, the League of Shadows. So.
It's not the first people he's ever killed, that's for sure.
But yeah, exactly. So, gosh only knows, he's probably running around doing all sorts of fun stuff. But I'm sure they'll reveal it, and I'm sure they'll figure it out. And I mean,
because I haven't seen him as Robin anywhere.
No, not for a while. It seems like they're bringing back Tim Drake.
He quit, didn't he? Like, in Teen Titans, he actually, like, quit being Robin.
Did he?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not getting that.
He was leading the Teen Titans. I'm way, way behind on my Teen Titans.
Yeah.
But I started collecting when they brought Lobo's daughter in. So I was like, well, if I can't read about the main man, I'll read about his kid, right? So,
Well, if we're talking dropping books, I did.
Uh-oh.
I dropped the Bendis books.
Did you?
Yeah. I was like, that's it. You know, like the Rebirth Superman was like such a good series for me. It really reinvigorated my interest in Superman. Like, I haven't been that excited about Superman since John Byrne.
Oh.
And it was just everything you wanted about Superman. I mean, like, there's this one story. He went on a picnic and he found a Civil War soldier's bones, and they solved the mystery of, you know, who's the bones, like, where did it belong, and he brought it back to the family and stuff like this, all on this picnic. And I was just like, that's a Superman story. Like, that's, you know, him and patriotism and goodwill. And Lois was there, and she kind of went, were you off doing Superman things again? Ah, shucks. I love you for it. So, I mean, yeah, and then Bendis, he just turned it into this weird teen drama, and it was just like, even the lingo, and I was reading Legion, and maybe I'm just too old, like, obviously I'm not the target demographic of that book, which is fine, but that just means I can, you know, walk away and not buy it and turn around and buy Bad Mother from artists, yes. Writers and artisans.
I just caught up on that one.
Yeah, Bad Mother's kind of fun.
I'm having Bad Mother is, that. Yeah.
Archangel 8 finally finished, the last episode, the last issue dropped.
Okay, I haven't picked up for this week, so yeah. I'm behind that much, but yeah. I finally got caught up on, like, Dollhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was missing, like, issues 1, 2, and 6, so I finally got that series all wrapped up when we went to Gotham, and I read those up this week, so.
Well, the book that I am most impressed with right now is Firepower from Robert Kirkman and Chris Samnee. To be honest with you, I just look at this and all I see is Jason Liu. I feel like people look at Jason Liu stuff and goes, hey, I see Chris Samnee stuff. And I'm like looking at Chris Samnee stuff going, yeah, I see Jason Liu. But it's like, Kirkman's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great writer. He was a great writer on Invincible. He was a great writer on Walking Dead. He's just a great writer. And to see him going back to and writing another book is just, I mean, it's just a good book. But it had a really interesting, weird kind of release. So he released the trade paperback, which was the backstory.
Mm.
And then he released the Free Comic Book Day, which is literally issue one. The whole thing's there almost. And then, of course, issue one is just a reprint, basically, of the Free Comic Book Day issue. And I've read two issues since. And it's great. It's all kind of Shaolin monk-ish, kind of Iron Fisty.
Okay.
But it's going, you know, in an interesting route, and I thought it's pretty good. I'm really happy I'm reading that.
Yeah.
All that many books that kind of get me excited. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, I got to read this because it's in my pile. Other times I grab a book, I'm like, woohoo!
Yeah.
Firepower is my woohoo book right now.
Die, Die, Die was written by Kirkman, too.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, Walking Dead was always my, I got to read this as soon as I get home book.
Yeah exactly.
Well, because you know somebody died horribly and violently about every 3 inches, about every 3 issues.
Did anyone else pick up Iron Man number one?
No.
I bought that. I've got this weird thing with Captain America, Iron Man, and Fantastic Four. Like, way back, I was obviously, I mean, we've said this like a billion times, DC guy. Just read DC all the time. And just as on a lark. Just for no reason whatsoever, I picked up a Uncanny X-Men comic just because I was like, okay, well, let's see what all the fuss is. Like, everybody keeps going on and on about X-Men, on and on about X-Men. Let's try it and give it a fuss. See what's going on. And that was, it was Mark Silvestri, Chris Claremont, and it was the Brood series.
Oh, okay.
Brood story.
Yeah.
So I can't remember what number that is specifically, but I was floored. I was like, this is a fantastic book. This is an amazing book.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've kind of been, I went heavy with X-Men until the 2000s after that series. And then kind of spotty on and off. But the other books that I kind of, since I had such a good experience picking up that Marvel book, I picked up like Iron Man. And this was just before the armor. No, this was just after Armor Wars. And, you know, read that for a few years. Did the same thing with Captain America when it was Ron Garvey was doing the art. I'm trying to remember who wrote it. I want to say Mark Waid. Just before they gave the characters to Liefeld and Jim Lee.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the Reborn stuff?
Yeah. And it was really good. I was digging that. And Fantastic Four. So every once in a while, whenever there's a reboot, I'll like try out the first few issues. Like I probably have all but the very, very first original Fantastic Four number one. I probably have all of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm trying. I keep trying them out, and it never sticks more than a year. Yeah. So Iron Man's again one of those books. So they renumbering the Iron Man number one, and they're talking about bringing him back to his, you know, his roots and. I don't know where he's been in the past couple of years, so I'm kind of starting this with a fresh eyes.
Wasn't he dead? Okay?
Oh, he died and was like an AI, and yeah, I mean, his journey the last little bit has been, I not that I've been actually reading it, you just, you know, you pick up bits and pieces from here and there and everywhere, but yeah, no, is it a good read or what?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it. Patsy Walker's in it, Hellcat.
Okay.
You know, and the art's pretty, I'm not sure who's doing the art here. Kafu, Safu, I don't know. Cantwell is the art, is the writer. What do we got here? Oh, Alex Ross did the cover. Mm-hmm. And, okay, that's the various. Christopher Cantwell, and the artist, oh, the artist is just Safu, C-A-F-U. Kafu, Safu. But there's a pretty good, you know, heroic shot there of him and his new uniform designed by Alex Ross. It's got a kind of very, very retro but modern look to it. And so I thought it looked pretty cool. And I liked it. I'm going to keep going with it. We'll see what happens.
Have you been reading Devil's Highway?
Yes.
What do you think?
I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I just caught up with issue 3. I just read it tonight.
Yeah, I've got pretty much I've been reading all the AWA comics. The only one I haven't read is I decided not to get.
I didn't get Kentucky.
I got Kentucky.
I got year one, but I haven't actually read an issue yet. It's at Y, and I'm only at like C.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I read the first series of year one, because what they're going to be doing is the same Dark Horse Image model, right? They're going to release 5 issues and then take a break and release 5 issues, take a break.
Yeah.
And so the second series of year zero, I decided to pass on. But other than that, I've been getting every single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I got pretty much every one of them too. Now, I'm like I said, I haven't hit Resistance yet, but you know, I've got 1 through 4 here just sitting there waiting for me to read them.
Resistance was good. I'm digging that. My favorite out of all of them is I really like Archangel. Mm-hmm. My only problem is what's that? Deodato. What's his first name? Mm-hmm. I feel like we should know that.
Yeah,
he's just a very, it's a heavy inked, heavy shaded art style. I know he didn't do the coloring on it, but it's just a dark book. And to be honest with you, I had a hard time telling the angels apart.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is Michael and this is Raphael. And I'm like, okay, well then can you guys wear like bandanas in multiple colors or something?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Cause I can't tell which one's which. Can one of you guys carry a sword and the other one carry a sigh? Because I have no idea who's who.
Yeah. It doesn't.
But yeah, Mike Deodato, Deodato. In case you haven't noticed, we have a long-standing history of butchering names here on the Hey Kids College Radio Show.
He did X-Men, Uncanny X-Men after Sylvester, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was doing Savage Avengers.
Oh,
with Conan and Conan Punisher. Who was it? Conan Punisher, Wolverine. Venom.
Yeah.
Somebody else. That was fun. I read that for about six or so issues. That was pretty good. I had fun with that. Okay, Walking Dead guys, talk to me. Negan Lives.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read it.
I read it. And I'm like, okay, but because I'm so out of the loop with everything that's going on, it was just like a story. I didn't know if there was anything super secret or revelatory, or is it like super special, or is it just a Negan story?
It's just a Negan story.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it almost read like an episode of The Walking Dead, right? He's out there, he finds some new people, he gets in a fight with the new people, and then then it's over. Yeah. It's like,
Like, I was reading the text pages and stuff like this, and Kirkman says that he just did it to, you know, give something back to the comic shops, and him and the artist. Is it Adler that did the art? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Charlie
yeah.
did the art. Apparently, the two of them donated all of it, everything.
Mm.
You know, didn't – so I don't know if they gave it to comic shops for free or did they charge just a nominal printing fee. I don't know the details, but – and then, of course, the gold and the silver and variants and stuff like this.
Second printing bronze.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Which yeah. I saw on the shelf a Grey Guardian a few weeks ago, and I thought, should I get it? It's just sitting there at cover price. And I won't get it. And I get home, and I look on eBay, it's like $30. It's like,
Yeah, the whole aftermarket on second, third, and seventh printings is getting a bit crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm disappointed because my fifth printing of the first appearance of Gwen, Spider-Gwen, isn't worth like $1,000. I don't know why some printings are and some aren't. I don't know.
Sometimes it's... Yeah, I don't know why. Like, and some of them go back, like that Hulk. What was when they merge all the Hulks? What issue is that? 3-something. When they merge all the Hulks, and so you've got like the Hulk, and he's standing there, and it's all green around him.
Oh yeah.
Then they've got like different colors depending on the printing. So then there's like a gray one, and then there's a yellow, a kind of like a pea yellow one, like a really kind of weird color in behind. And that one's worth like $500 if you can get it. The third printing is really expensive.
Yeah.
It's really ridiculous. Cause,
well, it's one of those things where, you know, so many people bagged and boarded issue one.
Yeah.
That there's a glut of them, so there's no demand. It should be a valuable book, but it isn't because the demand is like there's just such high demand. So all of a sudden, you know, the collector market is like, okay, well, it's an important book and it's not worth anything. You know, maybe the lower print runs of the variants and the reprints and all that will be worth something.
No.
So they go nuts over that. And I'm like, you know what?
It makes no sense.
These are bonkers. Like, legitimately, yeah. Like you said, that's a hard book to find.
Yeah.
So, you know, rarity, that drives up the demand for it. So, I guess.
But that's because, like, when... in the 90s when we were buying, if it wasn't a first print, nobody wanted it.
Yep.
No, exactly.
Like, honestly, if it was a second or third print, it was garbage, and it was only meant as a reader copy, just so you could afford to get the first print. It was just something to get you by. Like, the first copy of Superman 75, you know, the issue where he died, I bought one off the shelf, and it was like the fifth printing or something. And I read it till the cover fell off, and then I threw it out. But there's still no collector's market for any of those issues, really, unless you get like the platinum that's all autographed or something. Really, there's no value in them at all. But they did like six printings or something for that issue, but again, they were just garbage, right? Like they were just tied you over until you could save up enough money to actually afford like the first print or the black bag or something.
You'd buy the real thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But now second prints are kind of all the rage. And so as soon as like the companies like Marvel or DC or whatever, they put out a second print, people just flock to them hoping that these issues are going to be worth something. But forgetting the fact that it's all about rarity that makes them worth anything, right? So if they print more second prints than they did the first print, then there's no real rarity on them. But I don't know how they're gonna do this in the future and look at what comics are worth. What series was I looking at tonight? shoot, I can't remember. Well, even like I collect the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers from Boom.
Yeah.
And there's 55 issues. But when you click on CLZ, there's like 350. So it's like, yeah, that tells you right there that second printings and extra cover variants are bananas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're just bananas.
Like, how many covers is there for this new Elementals comic that's coming? No, Eternals?
There was a ton. It was 40?
40 or something, but I heard somebody, I think it was Rob Liefeld on his podcast, saying it's up to 67, but I may have misheard it because, you know, I was trying not to die while driving.
It's probably right, because not only are the publishers getting in on doing them, but like comic book shops are also getting in on buying their own like mm-hmm. variant copies of certain books and stuff. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was 40 regular variants and then like 10 or 15 of the big comic shops like my comic shop or Mile High Comics.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that they actually sponsor their own cover for this because hoping to, you know, boost their own sales, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just well, Martin, you said that your Iron Man has the Alex Ross cover.
Yeah.
Is he not doing, he's doing like, are they called legacy covers or something for all the titles?
Yeah, he's supposed to be doing like an entire month of variants.
Yeah, is that one of them or is that?
No, this is, he's signed on as, let me just double check. But I'm pretty sure because he was involved in the redesign of the costume that he's going to be providing covers on the regular issue A.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I just remembered what the book was that I was looking at. Mm-hmm. It was the new Spider-Man series from like, what was it, 2018?
Yeah.
I got issue 1 through 12 from a Facebook auction, finally got the guy to ship it to me, and there was it went through the alphabet 3 times before you hit issue 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
it's just bonkers.
It was like, cuz then there's cover AB through Z, and then it's like AA, BB, and then to Z, and then it was like ABB, like AAA, and then all the way to Z again. I was like, are you serious? There's that many like variants? Yeah. Like, could you imagine wanting to collect all of them? Like, there are people out there who buy just only one character and they buy everything that gets put out. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine buying.
I'm feeling like, very judged right now.
I can't even imagine what it would be like to buy like 100 copies of Spider-Man number one. You know, I guess you get the one in 100 then, eh?
When Chapter House re-released all the original, their original Captain Canucks with new trade dress through the digital store, I tried to buy 2 copies of each for my library because I am that moron when it comes to Captain Canuck. I do want to have like at least 2 copies of every issue. Mm-hmm. And, there was the store also had a little bit of a glitch and everything was in US prices and I didn't realize the shipping wasn't quite right. And the folks at Chapter House definitely made it all correct for me, but mm-hmm. the initial bill was over $800 US.
Yeah.
Canadian. And I was like, what did I just do? I just spent $800 Canadian rebuying
everything you already own more than once.
Everything I already own more than once, just for completest sakes, and just because I wanted 2 copies of everything and this strange archival library of Captain Canuck nonsense. And I'm like, no, okay, let's readjust. Mm-hmm. Let's reprioritize.
Yeah.
But yeah, it says here inside the cover, Chris, that the regular cover is by Alex Ross, but there is another variant cover by Alex Ross and then about 7 other artists doing variants, so I guess
that must, you know, be
this is the regular cover, but he does have that special themed cover.
Yeah,
so we'll see how that goes. I have in my hand for the first time, well no, second time in my life, a copy of Cerebus the Artwork number 1.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah, but like it's
the number 1 or is this reprint?
Yeah, it's the reprinted Kickstarter. So they had a Kickstarter to reprint the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it's the reprint because it's got the 10 $10 thing there. And of course, you know, like there's all sorts of other differences, like the page quality and all that sort of stuff. So, but this was, Dave Sim had that, Kickstarter to relaunch this. I got the regular red cover, and then I also got the expanded gold cover.
Okay.
So I guess it has sketch pages or something else. But one of the neat things that it came with, which I mean, this used to be a thing. I don't know why this isn't a thing anymore. But it's the Cerebus sketchbook. So it's a paper cover, so you can have somebody sketch on the cover. But every single page inside is blank. So you basically go and you say to your, you know, your artist buddy and artist Ali, hey, draw me Cerebus.
Yeah.
And then you take the book to another artist. You say, hey, draw me Cerebus. So
you're like, who?
You get this themed. Oh, I'm sure if you're at Fan Expo. I'm sure if you're at Fan Expo, everybody except Stan Lee, when he was there, God rest his soul, knew who Cerebus was at Fan Expo. Maybe at Fan Expo Miami or whatever, or wherever it is, or Dallas, they might not know. But
yeah.
So that was fun little Kickstarter that came in, and there's a companion comic book that has a little bit of a brief history on the counterfeit copies that came out.
Yeah.
But it's all redacted. Oh. Like, there's this one page. It's a notorious page where Dave Sim actually went out and he says, I think this guy did it and this guy helped him and all this stuff. And it's here. That reprinted whatever it was, letters page or whatever is here. There's black bars over everybody's name. I'm like, no, come on.
Aww.
I know, obviously, you don't want to get sued out your pants off, but you were a little bit more daring in the past to kind of like spill the beans. So spill the beans.
Well, if you didn't get sued then, right?
Yeah. No, the first time I saw a copy of a genuine number one was at Alfonso's store.
Okay.
Studios Press. Dave Sims drops in there all the time.
Yep.
And shoots the poop and hangs out there. And so obviously Alfonso's friends with him. And at somehow Alfonso got a copy and was going to grade it or something. I can't remember. And,
oh, okay.
Oh. It's so sweet to hold it. It was the genuine one, not the reprint.
The only thing I have for Cerebus is a Christmas card I found in a collection I bought.
Yeah.
I don't even know who it was to. I don't think it said to, but it was signed by Dave Sims and the artist. The artist is somebody different, right?
Well, I'm going to butcher his name, and he's a Canadian, so I really shouldn't. Gerard?
Yeah. Yeah.
He did all the backgrounds and Dave did the character. All those really
Gerhard?
Yeah. And all those really highly detailed backgrounds was Gerhard, and the character himself was Dave.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that card came with the Kickstarter to relaunch the reprint of the phone books. They redid the phone books, and that was, it wasn't Alfonso. It was Alfonso's partner at the shop that he's always in the videos with him. Oh gosh. Mm. I'm brain farting on his name, and that's really bad. But he did all the scanning for that. Yeah. Mm. I've been doing a little bit of scanning myself, but we won't toot our horns until we get a copy in our hands, but we've been helping out with an archival edition, so we'll see how that works out.
Yeah,
nice.
Should be fun. It's solicited in diamond, so.
Oh, cool.
So maybe it'll happen. I'm sure it will. I'm being facetious. I'm sure it will, but yeah, we'll see.
Did you guys see Bleeding Cool put this out? I guess there's drawn headshots from the new Suicide Squad movie. So all the different characters have headshots, but there's one, it's Peacemaker. I don't know how well it'll show up, probably won't show up there, right? But it's copied from John Byrne's Captain America.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the original underlying image is it's a bit of a tracer.
Oh, uh-oh. A bit. It's more than a bit.
Yeah. But
it's funny because you know how Cap has the blue from his mask down by his mouth?
Yeah.
Well, Peacemaker is just more skin. But you can see the lines. Like, It's so obvious. Like, the ears are the same, the nose, the eyes.
Now, I saw that as a, promo piece for a new HBO Max series starring.
Yeah, sorry.
Starring him.
Yeah, sorry. That's what it was. Yeah, HBO Max.
Which, you know, screw you, HBO, for not putting it in Canada. But yay to, I can't remember who it is. I think it's Crave. Crave is going to be showing most of the HBO Max shows.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I don't know. Is it going to be delayed and we're just going to be pirating it because we're annoyed, just like we do with, like, Doom Patrol and stuff, where it shows up? Or Swamp Thing. What was it, Swamp Thing? We saw it, like, 4 months after the Americans did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On Showcase. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, man.
Hello, Cody. Hello, Cody, with your pirated apps.
The Disney app, I think they're just doing what Marvel does with comics, is they go overboard. They think something's really popular, so they just go crazy. Because now there's a Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury series that they're making for Disney Plus. Like, they're just going too crazy with things. Like, you know,
well, it's, like, it's long-term plans too, right? Like this Vision, WandaVision.
Yeah.
Series that's going to come out, it's just a limited series.
Yeah.
So once it's over, it's basically an extended movie. So once it's over, they're not making a second season or a third season. It's not like a traditional TV show. It's just an extended miniseries movie. So the, I don't know, I mean, the Samuel Jackson one, we might not see that for 4 years, 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they're just kind of announcing a release schedule.
The Captain America and Falcon one's the same way. It's just a one season.
As far as I know, yeah. Now, that doesn't stop them from coming back and making another miniseries with the same characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's not really the game plan. The game plan is to make these, you know, sort of expanded movies for Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And they've got to do something, because I bought Disney Plus to watch The Mandalorian, and I haven't touched it since.
My daughter loves the Disney stuff, so she keeps us, you know, our money's worth out of it anyways. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm waiting for Mandalorian. Come on now, get on with it.
Like, there's stuff there. I mean, you know, I think I've rewatched the Black Panther movie on it, but I got the Black Panther Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing on Disney Plus that is worth watching for me at the moment anyways that I don't already have.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, some people might be digging the National Geographic channel and stuff.
Yeah. The Mandalorian's another good example. You had a great season one, like, very popular. So what do you do with season two? You start throwing in Jedi. They're talking more from the cast of Rebels. Like, you're doing too much. You know what I mean? Like, the first one was great because it was him and the child.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're going to start throwing in Ahsoka Tana and more Jedi. And
well, I heard a vicious rumor, and I don't know if it's true or not, that halfway through Mandalorian 2, like the second season, it's going to take like a really, really huge shift away from the Mandalorian character.
Yeah. See, like,
I don't know if that's true or scuttlebutt, or people are just being,
you know, Marvel gets a great idea, Disney, whatever. Star Wars, whatever, whoever. And because it's so popular, they change it.
Mm-hmm.
To try and make it even more popular, which boggles my mind. I don't know.
They want your millions.
No, I know.
And they want it often.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but if they don't play it right, then they could lose more.
Yeah. They're definitely trying to get everything out of it.
Yeah.
It's like they need to sort of look at the comics and see what the trends are like. And I don't mean just look at Marvel comics, but I mean, like, let's look at who's putting out comics now and what the major themes are and who's being successful at it. I mean, like, if you look at AWA, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they don't have a single superhero book.
Yeah.
Well, Resistance is supposed to be superhero-ish.
Yeah. I haven't read that one. That's why I was like, you know, but, you know, they're not like Marvel, where if you look at it, they're mostly superhero books, and then you have a few extras that are offshoots. Or, I mean, DC's getting to be a bit more balanced, you know, at least when they had a lot of the Joe Hill stuff that, you know, that they were pumping out on a regular basis. But even that seems to be they're kind of going back to their superhero roots, right? And they're kind of alienating the people who are, you know, kind of tired of the same old Superman, you know, like give me something a little different.
They're going back to Batman.
And more Batman.
Batman and Batman.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you guys watch Brad, the DC Universe geek YouTube? Brad from Peterborough?
No.
He, his last video, he was going on and on about McFarlane's latest toy releases announcement. And it was like Batman and Batman, an obscure version of Batman and a really obscure version of Batman and Batman. And like back in the day when we had Arctic Freeze Batman and Desert Survival Batman.
And they were all from the movies that never actually appeared in the movies, right? Like, that's what those were. They were toy lines from the movie that never actually showed up there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, lads, we got a little bit less than a minute here. Just wanted to let everybody know that we're on Amazon.
Amazon.
Oh, nice. New podcast platform. So you can find Hey Kids Comics on Amazon, but you can also find us on all the other stuff, just like normal. What do we got? We got Apple, we got Google, we got Stitcher, Spotify. So lots of ways to hear the show. All right, guys. That was awesome. Have fun, and we'll see you guys later.
All right.
Have a good night.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.